Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
As we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, we welcome back to the show former Edmonton Oilers player, assistant coach, head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears, Ian Herbers. He's our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Ian, how are you?
Tired, Bob, but other than that, good.
Sorry, I missed you at the start. A little bit disappointed in the way it ended for your group?
Well, tired. Just all the travel, long day getting back. We had a 1 o'clock bus out of UPI, Charlottetown, to catch a 6 a.m. flight out of Halifax. So, long day yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's not... Well, you played in Cape Breton, didn't you, back in the day after you played for the Bears?
Correct. Yeah, I was there for parts of 3 years.
You guys
one full year and then parts of the other two. So yeah, used to that flight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. How would you assess overall? I will get to the specifics in a couple of the games, but I personally, some people said, well, the Bears are never rebuilding; they're reloading. To me, this was a little bit of a rebuilding. You know, you had a really deep, good team last year. You lost 5-4 in double overtime in the national championship final to UQTR, a game you probably should have won. You outshot them 70-40. You made it back to the national championship for the third straight year, Ian, that we've had one, 2019 in Lethbridge, 2022 in, where was it last year? It was in Acadia, Wofill, and then again this year. Is that an accomplishment that you guys made it this far, given the amount of turnover you had on your roster?
Well, I think there was a lot of people in February, maybe January, maybe even December, that were thinking there's no way the Bears team's going to be battling for a national title on Sunday. Obviously, we had some tough weekends, some games we weren't as strong as we needed to be, as sharp as we needed to be. But the one thing, the resiliency with our group, we kept battling. The leadership in our group kept direct us in the right direction. And we played our best game that Friday at Nationals. Right time to peak. Everything came together and our guys were playing good. We left everything at the tournament. Proud of the way the guys played and competed. Our leadership group, fantastic. All the people that help us, our staff and assistant coaches and everybody that makes this machine run properly. And then the volunteers and the sponsorships at the tournament. All the people that we dealt with directly in UPI and Charlottetown were fantastic. All the volunteers that are right around our dressing room and at the hotel and everywhere else. So it was a good week for us.
Is it fair to say this wasn't, on paper, one of your more deep teams that you've had?
Obviously, we didn't have the high-end offensive power. With the two of our top four or top six defensemen didn't play in the tournament, with Savankov blowing his knee out in December, and then McLeod coming down with mono before we went for Nationals, and then losing two of our top nine forwards in the first 5-6 minutes of game one. So we had to finish that game one with 10 forwards, and our guys battled and played through, and we just ran out of gas at the end. But the guys that did get into the lineup that maybe hadn't played as much, even Berlin coming in that one game, did a fantastic job, played hard, were positive on there, and gave us chances to be successful.
You guys were slow starters in a lot of Friday night's game. The first game, Friday afternoon game, was at 9 o'clock, Edmonton puck drop. I watched it before we hopped on the bird to fly to Seattle, Ian. And you scored in the first shift, and then you mentioned an injury. Ryan Hughes, who's an Edmonton kid, basically a 70-point scorer back-to-back years in the WHL. He's a point-per-game player for you. He runs one of your power plays. He got knocked out of the tournament with a brutal concussion on a heavy hit. And you guys capitalized. You scored three times on the power play. The game was over at that point. But was your team ever the same after he got hurt? And then was it Adam Hall that got hurt as well?
Yeah, it was Adam Hall a few minutes later on. But as you said, that was Hughes, I think, first shift.
Yeah.
Maybe he was the main key on our second power play unit. And the funny thing is, I slid in Justin Hall into that unit, and that unit scored three of our power play goals. So the ability of our guys just being able to step in and overcome adversity and find ways to get back net. You said the 9 a.m. Alberta time start. That's the best first period for best game we've played. all season long. Our guys came out firing, were intense at the jump, execution, we're doing everything properly, and then obviously scoring right off that first shift. And then, as you know, on a 5-minute power play, and especially early in the game, you get a little casual and sit back, right, or maybe a little tentative, and our guys just went out and scored.
Created
other chances in that, and so that's the key, and that's how the focus and determination our guys, they, you know, a lot of our guys were there last year in the Sting, where we gave away the national title last year, so they came out and proved that they want to get back there.
All right, so you win 7-0 in the first game, then you get Prince Edward Island, the host school, after they upset Calgary in the first game, and they had a very aggressive forecheck, and as it turned out, a very aggressive team. You score in the first shift again, even quicker than you scored in the opening game, and you build up a 3-0 lead going to the third period. And I was watching on the bus after the game in Seattle, and they were running you guys. Like, they stopped playing, and then you had the incident where first, you know, Kruger, who's a very good goaltender, he's Ethan Kruger, the Oilers brought him into the development camp a couple times. He gets run, and then the guy gets up after the melee's over and sucker punches him again. Now, Ian, you are not a shrinking violet. You know, I played against you back in midgets. You were not, you were a nasty piece of work, and you were huge. You fought in the minor pros. You fought in the NHL. How exasperated and frustrated were you with that whole situation with Prince Edward Island?
Well, it started right after that first shift. We scored immediately. Again, Fontaine was fantastic all weekend long and set that goal up with his speed and his skill. They put their checking line on right after that, and right after that next shift after we scored, it was nonstop for the rest of the game. So I've coached Newsport now or Canada West for almost 10 years here, and that's the worst game an opponent's been against us. You know, teams will play us hard, physical. I respect that. They'll that's part of the game, but this was all cheap stuff, all one behind, targeting players. And the Kruger incident, you can see in video, the guy's driving the net and then clearly jumps into Kruger and takes him completely out. And then when his helmet's off and he's getting back up and looking the other way, he gives him the sucker punch. And all you see at that point is Kruger lying face down on the ice and having to get help from our trainer and the players to get him off the ice. So at that point, I'm thinking that, you know, he's done for the tournament and everything else with after that punch and stuff. And then there was a few other incidents. And when Berlin, when he had to jump out of the way a couple times too because I'm coming in. It's unfortunate to see things like that. The game is way better now than it used to be. And that was like playing 80s hockey again, minus all the fighting. Yeah. Took everything by our staff and our leadership to keep control on the bench and during the game, or else it could really turn into a gong show. So the focus for our players and leadership to keep playing and trying to get their way through it. But at 5 minutes or so left in the game, I talked to my assistants quickly and then bent over and talked to our captain. They didn't feel safe on the ice. And with something else coming during handshakes or after the game, it didn't make sense. We've been through that situation in 2019, and it wasn't a good move. Our guys didn't want to be on the ice.
And so you're referencing the semifinal game against Saskatchewan, and their captain basically started a 5-on-5 line brawl that Craig had to take the fight in. And you could have had players suspended, and they ultimately did not suspend Craig because they felt he had to defend himself in that situation. But and that's what you were worried about, was them starting a melee in the post-game handshake line?
Well, anything could have been sparked. For me, the team could have said something or whatever the case, and something flared up. So, you know, our guys were frustrated all game long with all the slashes and everything behind, and targeting guys like Fontaine and Davidson during the game. And to their credit, they bit their lip and they worked hard to get the win and the outcome we needed. But anything could happen to them during the handshake. So didn't want that situation to happen. There was already a big enough black eye for U Sport Hockey, and we didn't need anything worse.
Did you, so when you guys left, I heard reports that they had a couple players sort of try to get into your bench as you guys were walking. Is that true?
From what I heard, I didn't see it personally. But that's what it sounded like, and it was a good thing the officials did a good job on that part, and I think all four of them were there and stopped anything else from happening and progressing further.
Well, this is a league that had Moncton attack the officials back in the mid-1990s. And the program got suspended for a couple of seasons. You remember that. You're playing.
Yeah, that's 80s and 90s. This is 2023 now, and the game is way better, and stuff like this shouldn't be happening in our game or any level.
All right.
No matter if it's pro or youth hockey or whatever the case is. You know, hockey's a physical game, a hard game. Emotions get going. But we need to be a lot smarter than that.
Okay, so you get New Brunswick. You're playing 3-3, and they got a really good team. And you mentioned the fact that you ran out of gas. They played on Thursday, got the day off on Friday. Then they played the early game Saturday. You guys played the late game on Saturday. You knew what it was going to be. Teams have won when playing 3-on-3 in the past, but you mentioned you ran out of gas. Do you think a combination of things, maybe not having McLeod on defense, not having Hughes and Hall up front, also played a factor a bit on some of the limitations you had with your lineup, just with the experience factor of, you know, some really good major junior players that are bigger bodies that could have, or do you just have to tip your hat? By the way, there were no penalties in that game, Ian, against New Brunswick, were there?
No, not a penalty in that. Both teams played hard and clean. Obviously, it's been nice to have Adamant because he does have that big body. He can skate. He can play. He has a great shot. He was out on that front present on our first power play unit, so there's another two of our key guys were off on our power play units on both units. So it would have been nice to have him in a heavier game, especially down in the ozone where we created a little bit more ozone time. I thought we lacked on that part in the game. First period was fantastic. It was back and forth. The first half of the second period, kind of the same thing. And then they get that breakaway opportunity to capitalize on it. And we just didn't seem to have the energy and the juice left in the tanks. Tried to refocus in the third, switch things up, did a face-off play right off back on their zone, created an opportunity, but just didn't have enough gas in the tank to crawl our way back. The key was we needed to score early like we did in the previous two games and get those guys on their heels. We had some opportunities, didn't capitalize on it, and that's the game.
All right. And New Brunswick was good. It's got to be stated.
Yeah, they're obviously a very good program and a very good team, and had a great season and a strong year. So.
Yeah. All right. Switching focus. The work doesn't stop. You got to, you know, you have players that you're going to potentially lose. Have you done the postseason exit interviews? Do you and Stan Marple have an idea of what you're looking at in terms of how many guys you're going to have to replace that are going to, you know, either graduate or, you know, move on?
Usually in the past, by now, we've had one or two or sometimes three or four guys already talking to professors and taking off for school this week. Haven't heard from any of the individuals yet. So we've given them this week kind of off to get caught back up in academics and get everything going, make sure they didn't fall too far behind. And I'll start meeting with the players individually next week and see where we are. I'm assuming one or two might take off, but at the same time, they need to finish their classes to make sure they graduate this spring. So I think that's limiting a couple guys. There's a possibility maybe one or two of our players come back for an MBA or second undergraduate program. So a lot of discussion here, but we've talked to a number of players that we think in the Western Hockey League that can come in and be a factor for us immediately and help us keep retooling this program.
All right. Ian, great stuff. Thanks for doing the interviews all season long, and I'll see you Friday night.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
You bet. That is Ian Herbers. He is the head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears. It's 1:49 at Edmonton. We're going to return with this day in Oilers history when we return in Oilers Now. Quick text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, you ask Husky alum here, listening to Ian, so much respect for him as a coach and a leader of young men, and his comments on the entire week as well as the game on Saturday. What a role model. The Bears are fortunate to have a man like that running their program. That's from a USASC Husky alum who's down in the States right now. By the way, when Ian Herbert says that's 80s hockey, he actually played 80s hockey. He was not a shrinking violet back in the day in the Western Hockey League. Had multiple seasons, three of over 200 penalty minutes. So he was not a timid player. Seven of the years he played the minors, he was over 100 pens as well. We're going to go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Fly private charter for a five-day golf getaway to Pinehurst, North Carolina in October. Details at newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
1998, Curtis Joseph set an Oilers team record with his seventh shutout of the season, 18th of his career. It was a 2-0 win over the St. Louis Blues here in Edmonton. Joseph broke his own record of 6 shutouts that he set the year before.
Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Here's Brendan.
Yeah, you'll hear from Luke Gazdick, a little more on the Golden Bears from Captain Matt Fontaine, as well as a 2022 Grey Cup champion, former U of A Golden Bears O-lineman Justin Lawrence, who is now with the Alouettes.
Danny Machocha. They got new ownership in Montreal, don't they? Palado's out of that team now, so lots of money there. Tomorrow, daily faceoffs, Frank Saravalli for the horses and horse race in Alberta. Find event schedules at thehorses.com. We'll see you at the races. John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. He's in town. He'll join us at 1:30. And out of Arizona from Phoenix Hockey Now, Craig Morgan at 1:05. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then Chelsea on 10 with Chelsea Bird from 3 to 6. Back at you tomorrow at noon.
Not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.